Welcome to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. Here's Connie.
Hi, I'm Connie Whitman, your host, and you're listening to Enlightenment of Change on webtalkradio.net. As always, I'm just so excited that you are joining us this week. So, of course, I have to start with my motivational quote, and it's by Nelson Mandela, and he says, "I learned that courage was not the absence of fear, but the triumph over it. The brave man is not he who does not feel afraid, but he who conquers that fear." And I want you to think about that quote for a minute. Do you feel afraid every day? Now, if you're like me, you do. I do. We're afraid of maybe not being good enough, not being good looking enough, not being seen or heard, not being smart enough. And some of us are even afraid of success. And how crazy is that? And I am too. We all have, and I call it the internal record player, and mine happens to be very deeply grooved, where it's that repeating, that negative mantra, where fear just seems to easily creep in, and it happens every day in our lives. Now, what if I told you that we can control or conquer that fear? Now, notice I didn't say remove your fears. Now, would you be interested in learning how to surrender and just let it go so that we could find peace and happiness? Well, sign me up. So today, my guest back for the second time is Simona Menetti. Now, Simona is a spiritual healer, teacher, artist, and author, channeler of angels, divine beings, and spirit guides. Now, Simone demonstrates profound liberating and life-changing healing through spiritual guidance and valuable tools. She outlines the past by shining a light on the inner worlds of limitations, subconscious programming, and of course, fears. Simone navigates through the inner world and brings clarity, acceptance, and resolutions to all aspects of the self, allowing the balance of the mind, body, and soul, giving you the keys to live life with an open heart, a peace of mind, and newfound joy, enabling the awakening of all the potential and possibilities in your life journey. Sign you up, right? Today, Simona and I are actually going to be discussing her new book, Free to Be You, The Menetti Way to Heal Traumas. So again, with that, I hope, lovely introduction, please help me welcome the wonderful Simona to the show. So Simona, thanks for being on.
Oh, Connie, thank you so much for having me on again. And thank you, everybody, for listening again and being present in this moment. And as always, you are just absolutely beautiful. I love your energy. Always so expressive and so kind and just very, very radiant. It makes it easy, you know, to just have a beautiful interaction. So I look forward to talk, you know.
Yeah, you and I always do have these great conversations. And that's what the show is, right? It's less of an interview for me and more of a conversation. Yeah. So first, tell us why, what brought you to write the book? Why? Why the book now?
Well, the book, the book has been in works for a long time, not necessarily in the reading or writing or the construction of it, but definitely for the purpose of it. It's been there since the beginning that I started doing the healing work. And it was very, very quickly shown to me that I would be writing a book that would address the most difficult things to overcome to give us the freedom to be. So the title is around that, the Free to Be You, because many of the things, by the time we get to be an adult, oftentimes we are just, the true self is hidden behind all these compartmentalizing the problem, the issues, the traumas, and constructing a different aspect of ourselves that goes along with adaptation and survival. And many of us don't realize that by the time, you know, whatever it is that makes us feel trapped or constricted in life, or that denies us happiness, or that presents itself as limitation, that oftentimes we see it as if the world is limiting ourselves, you know, as if we have impediments that I can't get where I want to because nothing ever works out. It's actually more a reflection of the blocks and the impediments that we have within ourselves and that we have constructed. And the origin of that oftentimes are fear. The fears of, you know, fear of failure, fear of being loved, fear of being worthy. So those kind of things are the majority of issues behind many of these afflictions. And the one thing that I also found for myself, and again, I And not only I healed other people, but also I healed myself in the process, because I was very much afflicted by a lot of these impediments, having had a background of abuse in many different ways, that I wanted to free myself. I did not want to be victim to my emotions, to my reactions, and to the fears that I knew they were not helping me in any way. They were just hindering my growth, and they were hindering my the peace that I was really looking for within. So that's how the book started. So I want to help as many people as possible into achieving the same level of, I don't want to say success, but definitely happiness within, that peace within, that once you find it, nobody can take it away from you, you know, and then you can really build and focus your life into everything that you actually want to, and not the wanting that is often coming from the wounds, which never leads to happiness.
It's interesting. There's a couple of things you said in there. The first, just right at the end, actually, is we, once you know how to find that happiness, because it's really within us, once you kind of peel back the onion and find it, and I say this all the time, we don't know what we don't know, right? We all have blind spots. But once you know it, you can't unknow it. You can make a choice to ignore it, but you really can't unknow it. And I think that that's kind of what you're saying. The other thing I heard you say is we all have our story. And some of us get real comfortable with that story of being the victim. And I think sometimes, though, Simona, we don't even realize that that's our story, because it just becomes so comfortable and part of almost our, at our cellular level, of how we believe that this is so. And that's where I think we give up the power of choice, because we don't know what we don't know, and we don't realize we're putting ourselves in this cage. So it's just, and what you said too is what I heard, that sometimes it's traumas from long ago that we don't even realize we're acting from those traumas, even though they're certainly not serving us anymore, but we don't see it with clarity. So let me understand the book. The book is a tool for people to use to help find that clarity. Can you give us some ideas of the topics or chapters kind of within the book, so people understand what the relevance of the book is and how it might help them?
Absolutely. And you said it beautifully, too. You verbalized it back really nicely. So the book has, it's actually filled with tons of tools, and it will address anything from anxiety, depressions, all the fears that are often, they prevent us from seeing with clarity. It addresses doubting, self-doubt, self-criticism, procrastination, all the bad habits that we acquire as we adapt to the difficulties in life. It addresses even addictions. And it gives tools in the form of each chapter. There's actually 12 main chapters with sub-chapters. So it ends up being like 12 keys, so 12 tools with many different little tools in within that addresses one, one aspect of the cells before we move on into the other. Because really, in order for us to really find this peace, we have to start by the foundation. And the foundation is oftentimes the acceptance of the self. So the first, one of the first tools will be understanding what's really preventing us from accepting ourselves. And that creates the doubts, that creates the guilt, the shame, the judgment that we have of ourselves. So it will be, it's a book that goes into details, into giving the whys and giving the reasons of how we get to the place that we get, especially in regards to simple things like judgment, criticism of the self, so even accepting criticism of others, or the fears that we tend to make to adapt so that they're more like the comforting blanket that may make us feel safe temporarily, but really doesn't help us get to where would actually be better, and where is a place where we feel better about ourselves. So for an example of one of the tools, I give one, when we start talking or addressing the how much we actually want to love ourselves, and the thing is that one of the main things that we eliminate when we start affecting our identity, because as you were saying before, we're born with a very set of with a set of identities that we may not know what it is because we're too young to know, and as our interactions start growing with different people in our lives, parents, teachers, and all that kind of stuff, we start eliminating pieces of ourselves or pieces of our identities and acquiring others that don't really are not part of our true self. So those other aspects become more predominant to the point that then people say things like, but I've always been this way. This is who I've always been. It doesn't mean that's usually a telltale sign to me that that person has adopted that type of that specific characteristic since really early, usually 3, 4, or 5. And I'll see it too. You know, my guys show it to me. So it's not difficult for me to pinpoint the time that certain things were established. And I try to convey that in the book as well, because I'm trying to give all the tools that I usually use in a session into in a format of a book, so the person at home can actually find the time and ease to go into it and address whatever issues may be there. And so, for example, the one about there is one of the rule, one of the tools that I give that is called that I call the 50-50 rule, which is the step towards loving oneself is strictly related to the inability of saying no and the inability to give yourself permission to allow yourself the same freedom that you may give to another. So, for example, if a person is very giving or very forgiving of everybody else, as if the person is the caretaker and it's always jumping in to do everything for everybody else, they tend to not do the same for themselves. And so the 50-50 rule is the one that you make a commitment with yourself that whatever you do for another, you have to also make the commitment to do the equal or the same to yourself or ask someone else to do it for you. And it's not just that. It's just that the, everything before or after is a very specific and direct guide into the reasons why we go there. So I talk from the point of the subconscious, the conscious mind, the energy body, the mind-body, the heart, and all the other bodies that are involved with the person, because it's not just our minds that is thinking of things. It's not what we feel. It's not only that. It's also our physical body that reacts. And so those people actually then feel anxieties, panic attacks, that they have addiction tendency. That will be addressed and explained in details why in the process how we get there, because I figure in my view, if you have the knowledge, you have all the tools that you need to undo whatever. Then you have the choice. As you said, I want people to know you have the choice to make different decisions that lead you to a happier self. And not only that, but to also to express yourself and to live the life that you always want to and to be authentic with yourself. And that requires the love. Go ahead.
I'm just laughing because as you were describing that 50-50, this is something I do all the time. And again, I'm thinking, this is interesting, right? Self-love. And I work very hard, right? And we moved last year. And since my husband and I have figured it out, since for almost a full year now, I've worked 7 days a week trying to pack and purge and move. And we moved the kids. And so we actually moved 4 times last year and then work. And I signed another client and I started another business. And I go, which I love. That's who I am. But it's been a year since I pretty much worked 7 days a week. And last year I took 1 week vacation. And of course I was still checking emails. That's a problem. And I know I have a problem. So here's the other thing. Now I go to get my nails done and I see that she's running behind because a client came in late or whatever. And I walk in and I immediately think, I said, listen, do you need to use the facilities or do you need to eat something real quick? Because I see you're harried. And listen, take 5 minutes. It's me. I'm happy to wait. Breathe, relax. Now, when you just said that, that popped into my head. I say that all the time when someone is providing a service for me, my lashes, my nails, whatever it might be, that I get to say to them, it's okay. Go take a quick break and just breathe. I never allow myself to take a quick break and breathe. And it's funny, Simona, because my husband is really good. Like the other day I was going in, I'm like, I got to do one more thing. Like I could take a break after I do one more thing. Like this is how I live my life. And he looked at me and he's very good at forcing me to hug him. And he hugs me and he's like, you need a hug. And I'm like, I have things to do, right? And he hugged me. And I started laughing and I'm like, yes, I needed that hug. Yes, I need to stop. Thank you. Let's go put a movie on, you know? So he's very good for me because he knows when I'm wound so tight because I don't ever allow myself to stop because there's more to do. There's more to do. Just keep moving forward. And I think because I love what I do that I don't look at it as work because it's rewarding. But on the same token, Simona, I have to self-love and find that balance. And it's very, very hard for me. So that 50-50, I'm going to remember that now. I never thought about it, but I'm very easy to show someone else that kindness because I get it. I know what it's like to go, 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 go. I have to allow myself to do that and not always have my husband be my safety net to pull me out of my own kind of insanity, right?
Absolutely. And that's really what we're talking about. And oftentimes, which I don't remember if it comes before or after, but I believe it comes after that chapter. Then we go into giving ourselves the permission because it's, you know, the reasons is that it's easy to give to another because we're not giving ourselves permission. We're kind of waiting someone else's to come along and say, hey, you know, why don't you take a break? But even when then if that's done, you know, then we say, oh, no, no, I can't allow myself. So that's when the permission comes in, as you were describing beautifully. These are things that require too much sacrifice on all levels, not just our physical body, our energy, our emotional body, our heart body, that eventually will get, you know, that expresses itself in different ways. That's how then illnesses or issues are born. And like for you, this not giving yourself permission, it goes right underneath your chin, you know, right here in the throat center, right under your jaw, feels like it goes into the ears and then back into the neck. So you probably get a lot of tension and tense in the back of the neck and the shoulder, a lot of pain there. I feel you also get migraines, so it comes back up into, you know, if not migraines, definitely headaches. And then you get this very strong tiredness and almost forces you to just take a break because otherwise you won't give it to yourself.
And it's so funny. It's funny. I don't ever get headaches, but when I go, I do go to the chiropractor monthly just to stay healthy and just keep everything in alignment. And he does this one neck adjustment and I go, there it is, baby. Like, I know I needed that because that's where I hold my stress. So I'm giggling. I never get headaches. Rarely do I get headaches, which is good. I hydrate a lot though. So I think that helps too because I drink a lot of water. But the go, 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 and I just said this to my husband, you're cracking me up. I woke up the other morning as I, you know, normal time and everything, and he goes, what's the matter? And I go, I'm tired. And I never say that. And he said, you okay? I said, I'm really fatigued. I'm feeling it. And I said, this weekend, I don't want to know anything. I don't want to do anything. Of course, I have work this weekend. But he laughed, and he said, we've been going for a year without stopping. And you forget how much time. I go, no. And I was like, holy smoke. It's been a year since we started the process with the move on top of regular life with the kids and work and family and all this stuff. So it's funny because just recently I feel fatigued. And that's not like me because my energy is real high. That would not be something I would usually say where I'm fatigued. But I'm fatigued. Like mind, body, and soul. So you're nailing me, sister. You're nailing me.
Well, it's, you know, the physical body, it will try and bypass what the mind, because the mind is also connected to our ego.
Sure.
We can make reasons, rationalize excuses, and we make up a plan that we stick by, and oh my God, it's all fail safe, and we can, you know, and we, it gives us that energy or that almost sense of invincibility until something else comes along that says, no, you're not invincible, you know? And so the physical body tries to talk to us before we get to that point. So even though to me it expresses itself as a headache or the tension in the neck, probably because you're doing the chiropractor adjustment or if a person were to do acupuncture, those two practices actually, they are, because they adjust, they actually release the energy that collects in certain points instead of then accumulating and expressing themselves into the worst that could be, you know, or the potentially worst. But the tiredness, then it's, you know, the body will always find another way. Okay, all right, if you're not listening that way and you're doing that and you're still doing your way, you know, you're being, you're sacrificing your needs and wants, then I'm going to give you this. And if we continue to deny it, not listen to ourselves, then it will just progressively get worse.
Yeah. It'll manifest.
It will manifest itself. Yeah. Because it's a self-preservation mechanism, you know, it's not just one of ourselves. We have all these aspects, all these bodies that work together. And we tend to, one sometimes tend to overcome all the others, and usually is the one where the ego is most center, which is associated to fears and limitation. And that voice is the loudest compared to everyone else. So,
totally.
You know, another way.
And yes, I'm glad you mentioned fears. I wanted to circle back to that. Because here's the reality, Simona, and I know you know this for yourself as well. I have a lot of fears. I think the difference is, and maybe it's how I was raised. You know, my father came here from Italy when he was 20 and, you know, worked his butt off, you know, three jobs, went to school at night to learn English, brought his family over one at a time. And I think that's why I don't give myself a break, because I feel like he did all of this, right? I have to do it. I have to work hard, because he's 88 years old, God bless him, and he doesn't take breaks, you know. Now he sleeps, takes a little more naps than he used to, but he doesn't take any breaks. So it's that drive of keep going. But so I think it's a learned behavior from that. But I also think that fear is real, and I know I feel fear, but I think because he was so courageous that maybe just being raised by him, that he taught us how to kind of pull up your bootstraps and face fear and just, you got to do it, you got to do it. It was a reality check of, you don't do it, who's gonna? It's not going to change if you don't do something. This is your life. You have control. So he really taught us that. But I'm telling you, and I know, I feel fear all the time. I don't know if the word courage is right or not, but I just know, I think, you know what? I hear you. I feel it. One foot in front of the other. You've got to do this. And you just, you know, learn. But I think I've learned that. I don't know that maybe everybody has learned that, right? But we all feel fear.
We do. We all feel fear because, again, what fear is there to do is to help us see. It's almost as if once we face these fears, or they come in front of us, the one question that we should really ask ourselves is, okay, this fear is triggering all these emotions and it makes me want to do this. But whatever it is that it's making me want, or whatever it is that I'm fearing, is this necessarily mine? Or is this something that I've learned from something else? Mm-hmm. Am I trying to be someone that I'm not? And so therefore I need more fears in order to make me be this person so that I can acquire whatever it is that I'm seeking. Or is this how I really want to? Because when we live our life and ourselves in an authentic way, fears almost are non-existent. Fears are part of that of which we acquire, that we are trying to fit in. So it's the same as trying to fit in a pair of jeans that are size too small than what we are. And then we try to go outside and pretend that nobody will see that those jeans don't fit ourselves. And if someone comes up and says something, you know, then we're like, we panic because, oh my God, somebody saw. So now we're going to try even harder to take care, or even more disguises, more details, more attention to control, to try to avoid something inevitable that will eventually happen anyway. Whereas the easiest path would be to find the right pair of jeans that fits really good for you and not whatever it is that you have been wearing because of someone else's. So as much as your father was, that's a beautiful way of teaching, you know, the perseverance and how to handle yourself. I go by that too, meaning that we only have, the only thing that we should rely on is ourselves. If we want change, we got to do it, right?
Yes.
But what maybe you're disregarding is who you are. Because you're trying to fit into someone else's role, into someone else's belief system, into someone else's role model, and not necessarily acknowledging who you are. And not only that, but you have to force now yourself to be that person, because now you're trying to be. That's the only teaching you're taking in consideration. So this would be a great time for you to kind of sit back and say, okay, but is this making me happy? Is this how I really want to do things? Because otherwise I wouldn't have fears, because the fear that you're really talking about is fear of failure, which sits right here. It's as if you know, I keep seeing you having something between your teeth and holding on to it really, really hard, as if either you haven't learned to masticate it, you know, because it's getting stuck there, because I can't digest what I'm making myself do, or that I want to hold on to every little detail because I'm trying to be this other person that it may not be necessarily all me. Okay.
You know, it's funny. I'm not afraid of failure because I make a lot of mistakes. I fear success. Mm. If I become successful, what about my friends and family? Will I have time for them? Will I be viewed as, yeah, she discarded us now? Because I don't ever want people that I love to feel that they're less important in my life just because I'm getting busier. So the fear of how, that's my fear of success, of how do I never want anyone to feel hurt by me or devalued by me because of time elements. Do you know what I'm saying? That's my fear. I know that's my fear.
which is still fear of failure, because it's not the failure of success, it's the failure of relationship, of being everything that you can be for everybody else. Beyond your own. So it's still fear of failure. It has many facets, and it's not just necessarily whenever the fear of failure, which can have, it's all cumbersome. You know, it can just tackle into every aspect of a person's life. Oftentimes it's because what if I try to, if I'm going to show who I really am to everybody else, I may lose what I have. What if they can't accept me? So it's the fear of failure associated to acceptance. Because if we don't get that level of acceptance, then we are risking the love that we are obtaining by being and doing and continuing to, show everybody else who I am.
Yeah,
but that may not be necessarily everything that I am. And it's not just you. It's a lot of people. Most of the people that I work for, it's really that dynamic. There's always goes down to this fear of the self, fear of the unknown, fear of the of failure, fear of, worth and love, which are usually associated to acceptance. It's always because there is that part of ourselves who focuses on the feedback of what we have around ourselves to ensure we are loved, instead of relying on ourselves to say, you know what, I am loved, I love myself no matter what. And if someone doesn't see that in me, it's not my responsibility to take care of that, whereas that's what we're doing.
Yeah, it's true. What would you say? Okay, so that makes so much sense, and I hope people were like, bing, 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 aha moments, because you're spot on with that. Now, what would you say? What's the best way to stop believing in that fear, right? That I'm going to lose those relationships, or that I'm going to make someone feel devalued, right? That's my issue, right? It's not their issue. So how do we put that at bay? How do we control that better?
Well, two questions. So meaning that the feeling part is that, which is okay, but I may go long.
That's okay.
I apologize if I talk so much, but once I start, it's like sometimes hard to stop. Maybe I should do better with that. But anyway, the feeling part is that how we feel about something has to do with our experiences and who we are and our story. How we react in feelings about anything that someone else is outside of ourselves does say or act or, in any way, has to do with something we already felt, we already perceive. It's an old story that is just popping up again because someone accidentally stepped on that wound, on that button, and oh my God, all those feelings comes out. The feelings are not originating necessarily because of that very instance, but they are because they're reminding the person of something already happened. But we don't remember all of the things already happened. It is similar to, oh my God, is that. But you got to understand that by the time we're like 8, 9, or 10, we already have experience. We have all these stories. They already have these automated, response systems that makes us feel in a very specific way to anything that happens after that. It's never the person in front of you that is responsible how you feel, but the stories and the traumas that came or the wounded that came from that, from your prior experiences as a child, which by itself should tell you, it's like, oh my God, I didn't have tools back then to handle anything. True. How can I expect to be able to, for my child self to have known how to handle things differently? So it's not about, chastising who we were and what we've become. We've did the best that we could. That's the feeling. So if you look at it that way, you can never, ever be responsible for how someone else's feel. Neither I want anybody to be responsible for how I feel. It doesn't mean that I can't say, when you say this, it makes me feel this way. But I have to first address it. But there's probably a wound. Let me take care of that wound. And then maybe I can understand and then focus on my needs that were not regarded in the conversation that made me feel a certain way. It's not about the feeling that we need to address. It's the needs that were disregarded. But if we don't handle the wound, we're never going to know what the needs were because we're only focusing, oh, you made me feel this way. Or I'm taking the responsibility of taking care of your feelings because I don't want to feel awkward about it, right? So, but we're not handling the needs.
So we're getting stuck is really what happens. And we keep repeating the behaviors over and over and over again.
Focusing on that, especially if you focus on the feelings. So the feelings come up, whenever feelings come up, you feel anything about anything, the first action is to say, when did I feel this? When was the first time, if you can remember, or go to the very last, the very first time you can remember, as far back as you can. A lot of people can't remember their childhood, but you may be able to go back to when you were in your 20s, 30s, you know, your teens. There has to be some type of form that can tell you, oh, I remember feeling this way way back when. If that's happened, you can't be blaming the person now to how they made you feel, because you already experienced it. There's already a story that is controlling you by now. Do you understand what I'm saying, right?
Absolutely.
Right. So that's about feelings. So what I always tell people is, like, take the feelings and go deeper. Don't just stay there, but see what it is that, go for the needs, and not the physical needs, the emotional needs. And that's what the book is mostly about. It's about our emotional needs that we don't take care of.
So
go ahead.
I was going to say, because we're almost out of time, okay. But the book will, so now totally make sure you have the feeling.
Yes.
Stop, look at the feeling, try to kind of go back. When was the first time you had that feeling, if you can go back that far? And what was the need that was not met that created that feeling?
Yes.
Correct?
And the best question, correct. And the best question to ask is, like, think about it, if this was your child in the same situation, mm-hmm. or someone that you know you care about, and you were witnessing the same instance that you were in at that age. And then ask yourself to look at the whole, you know, scene and say, what does that child need? What did it, that person needed in that moment that was not given to them? Not in, you know, a lot of people say love, affection, and that kind of thing. That's nothing. That's just, I mean, yes, we do need love, but oftentimes our needs are much more convoluted than just love. Love is too much of a general thing. So rather, if people focus on, like, where did you feel heard? Did you feel seen? Did you feel recognized? Were you validated? Did someone acknowledge, you know, how you felt, how your needs, your wants, because did somebody made you feel good about the choices that you made? Those are all things that we do to let someone know that we love them. So it's not saying love, it's love, but you still don't know how to give it to yourself. You still don't know what you actually needed to feel loved. So that's the better question. Ask yourself, what did you need to feel love in that moment? And then give it to yourself. Learn to give it to yourself more,
yeah.
Or to find ways now, and to find ways that you can convey the same message to the people you interact with, where you say, okay, I realize this is my problem. This is how I react. This is how I feel wounded when this happens, you know, the situation when you say this. But what I really need is this. So can you help me doing this? Let's find a compromise that, you know, we both can help each other, and I'll be happy to do the same for you.
Yeah, it's interesting, because as you were saying that, I know where that wound came from. Wow, I don't know why, and I don't know. I haven't thought about this probably in 100 years. We grew up in the same house as my grandparents. So my aunts lived upstairs, and my one aunt, who I'm very close with, she's my godmother through confirmation. I chose her. And she got married. Well, of course, right? So she got married, moved out, and two of my other aunts were still there. And my one aunt was very close with my older sister, and my grandfather was very close with my sister. And my aunt that I was close to left. Now, she got married. Wasn't trying to hurt me, right? I was probably, oh my goodness, 5 years old, I guess, when she left to get married. So think about that. I felt like, oh, they still have their love, their support, right? Making them feel special. And here I'm abandoned, right, as a kid. And again, it's a child's response. So now when I have that feeling of, I'm going to use the word abandonment. I don't know if that's really the right word. Go back to that moment and just give myself the love and yes. the reinforcement, and that I matter, right? And that I am visible, because she made me feel visible and wanted and loved and all the, I mean, not that my parents didn't, but it's that extra little attention that you get from your aunt, right? You get spoiled just by that little bit. And I think it's funny. I think that's maybe why my husband and I work so well. He gives me that every day, that I matter and I'm worthy. And like, I see you, I hear you. He needs me. I'm wanted. I'm loved, you know. So I isn't that funny that he really, really grounds me and makes me feel special every day, every day. So that's a good thing, right? That's a good thing that we choose the right people.
Yes, we do. We always choose the right people that come in and they push our button either to really trigger us enormously or to really help us go into a better place. One way or the other, will find someone, you know, spirit or the universe brings someone into your life. But the beautiful thing about this, you know, this revelation right now is you can take those steps that you give to everybody else. So whatever you pay attention that someone may need, we always focus on giving what we give to others. And we say, oh, that person needs this. I got to do this, you know. And sometimes we may not even think that. But it's not necessarily because the person really need it. We didn't ask them, what do you need? What can I do for you in this moment? What do you actually need that I can give to you? Which will make him feel heard and seen and all and recognized and all that. But we, instead, we give others that of which we didn't have. So we give, and that alone, if we just paid attention to what we give to everybody else, will be the we can follow that thread and will let us to do exactly the same that we do to others. We do it to ourselves, will let us to a better place anyway, because it's what we yearn. So, and then you have your husband that came in and started giving you all this, which is great. It got you into a really good place to then work on yourself and learn more things.
Big time.
Because when we don't get that, it keeps us really, really down into a dark place, and it may make it very difficult for us to see the light. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's cool because he too is on, I think I'm the right person for him. That's why I think we're compatible. I give him the things that from his childhood, you know, whatever wounds he has, I shine the light on that within him of the value I see, where maybe he felt devalued or whatever it is. But we're both very willing to read and learn together as well as separately, which I think is kind of foundationally a nice thing, because he and I are evolving together, you know, now that we're in our 50s, right? I feel like we're in such a good place and our life is so amazing. Not that crap doesn't happen to us. Of course, crap happens to everybody, but that found it does, right? I mean, Simone, nobody has a perfect life. That's crazy to think that.
No.
Yeah. That's nuts. But we together, I feel, we're on a good journey and we see a lot more of the positives than the negatives, because we're open-minded to things that we probably weren't so 10 years ago. Just very, the whole evolution. We're out of time, but I love the concept of your book. I hope people will go and buy the book. So it's Free to Be You, why can't I ever say your name right? Menenti. Did I say that right?
Yeah.
Menenti?
Yeah, Menenti Way.
Tongue-tied. Free to Be You, the Menenti Way to Heal Traumas. And it really does go back to those childhood stuff that has become our story, and we keep it. And sometimes the stories are good. Sometimes the stories are not good. So we need to really kind of dig in at those moments. And I hope that your examples, and I hope my example today, and again, that aha moment for me, just when it happens, it's kind of cool. But I hope that people go, oh, yeah, I understand that, and are able to utilize some of the tools we talked about today. Because, you know, I love the 50-50 one. I'm doing it for them. Can I do it for myself, too?
Absolutely.
Yeah, something to think about. So, guys, go to Simona's website. It's simonamanenti.com. So, simonamanenti.com, or email Simone if you have questions specifically for her at simonamanenti@gmail.com. And again, they could get the book and everything through the website and Amazon and all of that.
Yeah. Yes, it's available, you know, in different ways, both in paperback and e-format.
Yeah,
so they
beautiful.
Can download and all that. So thank you so much. Thank you for being the guinea pig, I guess. We're going to go there, but I'm happy to, because it's the one thing that I think when people see how they can make a connection to their own stories, which the book also has as different examples of, you know, of my stories and other people's stories as well, it makes it easier for them to say, oh, this is what it means, you know, and this is what I do too. So thank you for offering yourself to that.
Yeah, you know, I didn't mean to get so personal with everybody, but again, I agree with you. I think when people understand a story, they can relate to it versus the concept that we're discussing. So I think when we dig in like that, I think it's like, oh, yes, that makes sense. So hopefully that helped everybody. And again, I didn't mean to get so personal today, but thank you. And I thank you for putting me in your petri dish, right? You kind of inspected me today. It was fun. It was fun. Guys, if you need me for anything, sales related, leadership, coaching, please reach out to me directly at Connie at Whitman Associates. www.connywhitmanyourhost.com. I always respond personally to your emails. It matters. It really does matter to me. Also, my partner and I still offering our free communication style assessment. Just go to wisdomdecoded.com. You get a little report, and it kind of shines a light on how we're wired, on how we communicate and how people perceive how we're communicating that you might not know. Yet another blind spot that hopefully I can help you shine a light on. Again, SimonaManetti.com or SimonaManetti@gmail.com. Simona, thank you so much again for
thank
just being
so
an amazing
much.
Guest. Always
Thanks.
Love having you on. And I hope you, guys will join me weekly as we question, build, and discover together how to grow and challenge ourselves, like our discussion today. There's so many wonderful tools out there, really for us to kind of move the needle and create more happiness and peace, and again, diminish fear in our life, which is really just so important. And you know what, guys? It's often easier than we think. Yet again, we have a book that can help you navigate those turbulent waters that time. Thank you again for joining me. You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with me, your host, Connie Whitman, on webtalkradio.net. Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful, and for me, I wish you a fear-free, inspired week. Thanks, everybody.
You've been listening to Enlightenment of Change with Connie Whitman of Whitman & Associates. To learn more about Connie, visit her website, whitmanassoc.com. Thank you for tuning in. We're glad you were here.